Welcome to another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. And boy, I think a lot of North America is hunkering down right now as the Nike swoosh of winter storms is upon us. Here to provide some meteorological evidence, my good friend and part-time weatherman, Jay Bartlett.
I was actually just looking up the weather. So here in Ontario, it's going to snow all night
and all day.
And then all night.
Well, it's Groundhog Day again.
For once, I don't have to be anywhere. So
bing!
I let it snow. I usually get, you know, it starts to snow, then I have to go out, and it's like, of course. But
yeah, you can never just enjoy getting snowed in, not being able to move your door. We're calling for about a good foot and a half. I wonder how everybody is doing in the chat, if they're experiencing the same thing. Shout out to Nelson is out there. Scott is out there. Sever Snape, Tater the Toy Guy, Cactus Jamie. Lisa, slow on the draw this week. Usually you're first. Slipping. You're slipping in the wild. You got to chase that first. You got to do it. We got Cindy as well in the chat too. What has been going on, my friend?
Well, I got up this morning and I watched Boba Fett at 7 in the morning. And I won't say anything except that this was probably one of the best days in a long, long time. I was on cloud 9 all day.
That's all awesome, day. Man. I love that it's gone from you utterly detesting this and not wanting to watch a single second. And likewise, me breaking my 3-episode rule to how can the train wreck continue to get worse and vile to the point where we have to watch the next iteration. Not out of pure love necessarily, although last week's episode was pretty great in a Mando-like fashion, but to just appreciate it for what it isn't almost. So I look forward to this new episode, and hopefully no spoilers in chat, folks.
Yeah, yep. I mean, you won't be disappointed. I think at this point they should... And more or less, they should just call it the Star Wars show. Obviously, a little bit better of a title than that. But I don't think they should be so focused on one character now that everything is trying to blending in with each other. I think they should just make it a Star Wars show set in that time.
Almost like the MCU does, where you just have these different chapters. Where if you look at all the Marvel films, it's actually just what's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all these different... almost comic book like issues come out as either series, episodes, or films.
Yeah, it's really strange. Our good buddy, professional screenwriting teacher, professor, whatever you want to call him, Jordan, him and I were talking last week, and I said, is there any possible way that this season is not finished? Because I'm not the super behind the scenes guy. And he's like, no, it would have been done a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, because it really seems like. They're kind of listening to what the fans are saying and not so many words in almost every respect. So magic, I don't know.
No, it takes a long time to do this. You know what it's like when we make our shows. I mean, even with a full-on crew, the logistics and stuff and the money, it still takes just as long for things to turn around after it's shot, let alone the previs of, you know, visualizing everything, writing it all, doing all the compositing backgrounds, which have to happen almost a year in advance for the volume where they do all their shooting on the soundstage. So it just takes a long time. So I'm interested to see what happens, especially on the Boba front side, because the pacing and the story has just been quite awkward. But welcome to our episode, everybody.
Yeah. Real quickly, one last thing. I was just going to say, as good as last week was and this week was of the Book of Boba Fett, I still don't have any urge to go back and rewatch the other episodes. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take the good when I can get it. And that's it. Let's move on to our stuff.
So, well, this week, as everybody saw from the thumbnail that we shared and that was hanging out in the chat before we went live, we're going to talk about the day I realized, Jay, that I was a serious collector. Of course, we have a lot of stuff to get to before we can delve into that big topic. And of course, it starts with our icebreaker brought to you by Retro Rags, Mock Masters, Heroes Comics in London, Ontario, and of course, Big Bad Toy Store. Jay, this is a little bit off the beaten path for our icebreakers, but I'm curious. When was the first time you remember doing something or something that you saw in real life, IRL as the kids say it, that felt like you were living in the future or was very futuristic?
Toy related or just anything?
Anything.
Playing a multiplayer game of Doom with my neighbor over the modem. That was such an incredible experience with my next door neighbor. And subsequently, about 3 years later, doing a PS1 to PS1 link for Doom multiplayer, just one-on-one. But I was like, dude, this is amazing. I remember we would be like, let's meet up in the room with all the heads. And we go and just sit there and just look at each other and kind of walk around each other. It was really, really cool, man.
And again, my favorite part of that, because your neighbor is also my neighbor growing up, we would play a match at Doom and it would end. And what would we do? We'd run upstairs, go to the porch, shout at the guy two doors down about everything that was gone, and then race back in to go downstairs. Because you couldn't call because the phone was tied up with the modem. Yeah,
we would get really hardcore where... When I don't know why we did this, but when whoever died, we would stop and switch computers. So we'd run out of the house or run into each other's houses and use that computer.
Yeah.
And I always liked the neighbor's computer because it was always way better. It was always top of the line compared to mine. Yeah. So what about you?
I think it was when I saw CDs for the first time.
DVDs was my second choice. DVDs was a big thing for you and I remember. Like huge. Oh, yeah. Huge.
Yeah, that was similar, but it felt like, okay, you know, music was on CDs. It makes sense that movies are on something similar. But seeing like that shine and that like rainbow-like pattern when you would turn the CD over and the reflective pattern there, it was just a completely different, even physical interactive experience in a cassette tape or a record was at that point. And it felt like, boy, how does this work? They shoot a laser at it and music comes out. Like it just sounds futuristic, right?
And the size of it, the way the packaging was really cool because it was like an LP, but smaller. You know, the LPs back then, that was your mom and dad's old stuff. Like, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want to hear the original mono recordings of the Beatles. We want them in stereo. No, you don't. No, you don't, Past Jay. No, you don't.
Well, remember when CDs first came out, they were the long sleeves. You'd almost fit like two or three CDs back to back. And I still don't know why that was the case. Remember cassette tapes at the store were like in these plastic long sleeves as well. So you couldn't pocket them, presumably.
So you could steal them. Yeah. Yeah. Just strange design choices. It kind of runs along the box, the first generation boxes for PS1 and for Sega Saturn, those weird like plastic long boxes. And if they crack or broke, you were screwed because you could not get replacements for them.
No. But that's interesting too, right? Because it was less of a collectible thing and more just of a mass produced shell where you could just insert any art into it versus like an NES box or an SNES box that were strict cardboard wrapped around with an image. So I thought that was an interesting evolution in packaging design as well. I have a second icebreaker here. I don't know. It's probably a quick one, secondary for any of our, mainly, I guess, horror fans out there. What are your thoughts, Jay, on figures that are based on movies that were only released in black and white? Should the figures be black and white too, or should they be colorized? And I'm thinking stuff like original Dracula and Frankenstein, Nosferatu. Some of these figures get released in color. Some of them are muted color. But if the movie's in black and white, my gut says go black and white.
I would say try and get it as close to what we see as possible, which would be black and white. Then again, the people probably creating the figures would have, you know, behind the scenes stills, which would be in color, I would think. I would say how it appears on screen is the way it should be. I would say black and white.
We're getting some people chiming in with the very same answer in the chat, Jay. We're getting Be Real saying black and white. Cindy saying black and white. Nathan saying black and white. Upstate Johnny saying black and white. It is. I do think it's weird when they started colorizing movies that were originally in black and white, adding color to them. arbitrarily that it was like, wait a second, these aren't the real colors. This looks fake. So I thought when I saw some action figures of the Hammer Horror stuff, like a lot of this stuff was originally in black and white. Why are you giving me color figures? It doesn't feel right. Curious on your thoughts. Just curious on your thoughts.
Yeah, nothing's more jarring than not seeing it in its original form, color-wise especially. So,
and I think black and white figures are kind of an anomaly. There's so much attention to detail with paint apps nowadays, or translucent or glow-in-the-dark, that I think you could get away in some instances of more monochromatic figures. I think there's a few turtle figures based on the Mirage comics that are as such, but not a lot of black and white stylized figures that I can think of. If you have some black and white figures in your mind that have been released, throw it in the chat. We can get back to it. But it's come time to our favorite segment, Jay. Maybe the new segment that is really grounding and anchoring the show. Are you ready for some Kobayashi Maru?
The no-win situation, yep.
The no-win scenario, the lose-lose. The irritation of irritations, the red fire behind us all.
I would say, I'm still going to say before you start with this week's A or B, that the worst one you gave me was, you can see it in the Nintendo Quest Power Tour, actually, where I think it's something to do with Mark Hamill, and that's all I remember. I was just like, what was it? I couldn't hang out with Mark Hamill again.
You could hang out with either Mark Hamill or Dave Grohl, but you would never, ever get to see the work that the other person had done ever again. So if you hung out with Mark Hamill, yeah, you would never get to see anything that Dave Grohl created musically, yeah, on film. Yeah. Or if you hung out with Dave, you could never have any, you would never be able to consume any media that Mark Hamill was tied to.
I thought it was something to do with like Captain Kirk. Like I could go see the new Star Wars, but I would have like Captain Kirk chained to me or something like
that. Oh, that was another one.
That was another one. Okay. Yeah.
You'd have to go see like a Star Wars. You would go with Mark Hamill to a Star Wars release, but you have to go dressed as Captain Kirk.
Well, I'm a little more Trek friendly these years, all these years gone by. So that's not so bad now. Okay. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
All right. Kobayashi Maru this week, everybody that's listening in, everybody that's in the live chat on YouTube again, 8:30 PM Wednesday night. Here it is. Scenario number one in your collection, you can have Luke Skywalker with no lightsabers, or He-Man with no power swords, or a third option this time, Batman, but never with a cape. What would bother you most? Luke, no lightsaber, He-Man, no power sword, Batman without a cape.
Well, which Luke are we talking about?
Any Luke. So you, every time you buy a Luke Skywalker, somehow you are screwed and get no lightsaber. Every time you buy He-Man, you never get the power sword. And every time you buy a Batman, there's no cape. Which of those scenarios would bother you the most?
Okay, well, I guess, well, Luke would bother me the most. I would say Batman the least, because I don't really buy a lot of Batman stuff. So not having Luke with his principal weapon would be a little annoying, yeah. I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
Interesting, because it's almost the opposite order for me, my friend. I could live with Luke Skywalker with just a blaster, because there are several scenes where he just has a blaster, and that makes sense, especially for my level of Star Wars collecting. He-Man and the early stuff was more about the battle axe, so I could wrap my head around just him having an axe and a shield. But Batman without a cape, even if I just had Superpowers 84 and never having that cape,
well, that's
that would drive me nuts.
Talk about a gorgeous figure, and then when you take the cape off it, it's awful.
It's you might as well throw it away. Having the cape is better than having the figure without the cape.
Upstate Johnny, if you can go up a bit, he says Batman without a cape makes no sense, and I have to kind of agree with him. That would be like Luke not having his shirt on or something like that. So maybe Batman without his batarang or his belt or something. But
well, this is why. Okay, it's this scenario is not about making sense, okay? This is about what bothers you most. And Luke, I'm glad it got under everyone's skin. Cindy's chiming in saying, Batman, that suit would look ridiculous. Cactus Jamie's saying, He-Man needs a sword to be He-Man. He-Man would be savage.
Cactus Jamie, you are incorrect. Have you not seen Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe? He apparently doesn't need the sword to become He-Man.
He always had the spark. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? And there are several iterations where he had to just go in the power cave to become He-Man.
Oh, no,
don't. Upstate Johnny's saying Luke can rock the Force without it. He-Man can punch up shit without the sword. But Batman, without a cape, drives him up a tree. Nelson is also chiming in that He-Man still has his axe. So, all right, good response to scenario number one. Everybody is irritated almost He-Man. With every single one, except for He-Man's, Luke. Everybody can run Luke.
He-Man still has his axe that he still won't hit anyone with, but he'll cut down that tree to hit them.
You're damn right he will. Okay, scenario number two. Everybody, fingers on the buzzers. What would bother you more, Jay? Having the USS flag and no G.I. Joes, or having Grayskull and no Masters of the Universe figures?
Having the flag with no Joes, because I like G.I. Joe better than He-Man. Simply put, I would be, don't get me wrong, it would be hard, and I know I'm the opposite of everyone in the chat, I know that for sure. It would be hard not to have He-Man figures, 100%. But to not have my Joes would be, yeah, I couldn't live without them. So what about, well, I know your answer, obviously.
No, I don't think you do, because I would be fine if I could just at least have a Grayskull.
You made the He-Man documentary. You can't say you don't want He-Man figures. No one's buying
Well, maybe that. I'll make a G.I. Joe documentary, and then what are you going to do with your wise-ass remark?
Rob's not the He-Man guy anymore, guys. He's hung that up. Along with his Batman cape.
My cape has been thrown out the window like my Batman figures, okay? So there you go. I think Grayskull on its own looks great. You don't have to be a He-Man collector to appreciate that playset just sitting on a shelf. But having the flag, that big empty coffee table with possibly no Joes or any kind of vehicles or something on it, feels a little ridiculous to me.
And you know what's weird? Anybody, I think you'll see, I'm pretty sure you'll see my collection in Action Figure Adventure Season 2 or something we're doing that's coming up. But every single playset that I have is bare. I don't put any figures on them. Every vehicle I have is not manned because I like them without. I know that's strange.
That's weird, naked, right? Playset. Like, so that's like flag, you might as well. Ugh.
My flag there has keel hauled, not piloting it, whatever, manning the ship. But that's it. There's nobody else on it. There's no Sky Striker on it because it's just, I like it blank. Yeah.
Heaven forbid you have a little bit of fun with your display that takes up 8 feet of your room.
No, museum piece. No fun allowed.
Oh, I forgot. Your collection is a museum now, just like stores have a museum, stuff that you're not allowed to buy.
Too many flags that just get used as tables. And ultimately what happens is that you put your new toys on it, you just dump stuff on it, and I just think it looks really crappy. I like the flag to be crystal clear, center empty, of the room,
zero sense of fun, just emptily, taking up a lot of space,
desolate, yeah, just like
boring. Everybody's back and forth in the chat on this one. It looks pretty split. We move on to scenario number three. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Everybody got their hand on the buzzers? Okay. You have to, what's going to bother you? What's this? This is stupid. And to answer someone's question, Upstate Johnny says, Rob, do you carve out a time slot each week to come up with these questions? Is it a big think tank in the breakfast nook on Monday morning? This keeps me up at
yes.
night. Yes, it is. I carve out my Monday morning coffee session and it'll last 4 hours until I come up with them. The third scenario is, Jay, you have to collect all the Power Ranger figures to get more Star Wars figures, or no more collecting at all.
I have to collect all the Power Ranger figures to get, well, I guess I'm collecting all the Power Ranger figures. I have no problem with that, sir.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting that you have that desire and need to have more than what you already have.
I'm... For Star Wars specifically, I'm always interested in new characters. Because I've collected Star Wars my whole life, we've talked about this a million times, I have 50 versions of Bespin Han. I don't need another one, but there's some really, really great new characters from the sequel trilogy that haven't got released. From Boba Fett, from Mandalorian. Oh, speak of the devil. That one's great. That's a really great figure.
This was a $5 buy at EB Games one day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. worth every penny. Nah, take it back.
No, the manager that sold me is a bit of an asshole. I heard, well, it's funny. It's funny you say that because, let's go back. Sorry, my mind's going in three different directions. What Star Wars figures do you still need to have a figure of that you don't have that haven't been released? Let's start there.
I can't say right now. Ask me again next week. There's one, okay. And if I say it, I'll wreck a bunch of stuff, so I can't say it.
Okay, well, don't say anything then, okay? So obviously it has to do with the most recent episode.
I'll say one. Mandalorian. Oh, actually, I can't. Forget it. Move on. Move along.
All right, moving on. Because I would be fine for some reason, and this will tie into our big topic, and we'll get to that momentarily, if there were no more action figures released, and all we had to do was hunt that was with everything that was existing, I think I could end up still collecting for a very long time.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And not have to buy case, Power Ranger figures and still can be completely fulfilled.
Yeah, okay. You know what? There's so much great stuff out there. Yeah, I would be fine too. There's more than enough for 20 lifetimes.
Right? And that's what I was getting at. Like the thought. There's thoughts behind all of these, right? Like, do you need the figures to go with a playset, Flag or G.I. Joe, or can the playset be cool on its own? Do you need the accessory for a character or a figure to be good? And in this case, do you have to collect simply for the sake of collecting to fill a void, say the Star Wars line ended and there wasn't going to be anything new? Would you just keep collecting and supporting Hasbro, hoping that they brought it back, you know, hypothetically? So I think there's enough out there right now that I could collect Star Wars figures, or you could keep getting a ton of Star Wars figures that somehow you don't have without having to just collect for the sake of collecting.
I mean, heck, I don't have every single Kenner Star Wars figure, so... Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Before we get to the main topic, and that, of course, is the day I realized I was a serious dolly man and a serious shelfer. We got to talk about our auction, my friend. That starts next week. Next Wednesday, February 9th. Do you want to reveal what the big first figure is?
No, I'm going to let you do that. Because for the fear of me screwing up, I'm pretty sure it's the one we talked about, but I'll let you do that and I'll go into discussing it if you like.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was your pick, but I have a handy fancy new flyer that I made.
That's why I don't have anything. If I reveal it, there'll be nothing to show. So
I have made a fancy dandy flyer with some illustration assistance by our good friend, Jeremy DeWitt. Allow me to pop it on the screen. So there we are, folks. This is the Ultimate Action Figure Auction coming back at you. I'm going to temporarily pop off our logo in the corner there. And everything starts next week. It's going to be up for grabs. This is the kind of the big countdown, 1 week to go. And you can see February 9th up here in this corner. Who is this fella, Jay?
That is a Mana Man, who was one of the last 15 released in 1985. Power of the Force, Star Wars Kenner, incredible figure, one of Jabba's cronies. He's got quite the backstory that I'm not going to bore you with right here, but he's awesome. He's one of those characters that's just on screen for a few seconds. A great world-building figure, especially if you're a fan of Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, definitely top five Star Wars character, right up there with Yak Face. Really unique sculpt. I took some film of him this week, and when we post all the images in the film, you'll get to see kind of what makes this figure really unique. I think he's such a cool figure, whether he has to do with Star Wars or not. It is just a marquee figure, and the fact that it's rare, the fact that it's Star Wars, the fact that it's Star Wars tied to Jabba's Palace is even that much cooler. Like, again, folks, these items are up for grabs. What we will do is we will make a post on the Action Figure Adventure page, and all you have to do is comment below with your high bid. Jay and I still have to discuss if there's going to be like a starting bid. There'll be minimum increments of $10 per bid. No bids within the last 5 minutes. It'll run for a week. probably till, you know, 10 o'clock p.m. next week on Wednesday, so that you guys will be able to chime in and see where it is during the live stream, and then have a chance to put one more bid in. If there's a bid within the 5 minutes, the final 5 minutes, it'll get extended for another 10 minutes until a 5 minute period has passed, and then it's boom, closed. That way there's no sniping within the last second.
And this, again, proceeds go to the Children's Health Foundation, a charity that Rob and I both really, really believe in. We've both been working with them for years now. And it's important to spread the message of this auction, which is another reason why we've changed up the formula from season one. We're giving a lot more time so people can discuss it in their toy forums, you know, share the link, that kind of thing, and spread the word. The first one, my pick, of course, would be the Star Wars figure to kick it off with a bang. So any Star Wars fans or just, you know, collectors of rare figures, Amanda Man is in the top five Star Wars figures for Kenner. So you guys spread the word and happy bidding. This Amanda Man is complete. He is loose and he's ready to be displayed on your shelfie and you can be a big hero.
Yeah, again, the post for this will be on the Action Figure Adventure Facebook page. So facebook.com/actionfigureadventure. It'll be a pinned post. So you'll see everything there. Jay's going to take some nice high-res images of the figure against a white background. I'm going to have a video including there so you can kind of see what it looks like under different light, give you a nice 4K look at it. Really want to inform you. And basically, like Jay said, we're changing it up this time. Instead of putting all the figures up at the same time on eBay, like we did last time, not only do we not want to have to deal with the 15% fee loss, we don't want people have to pick and choose. This is going to take place over the next 11 weeks. So it's a little bit easier for you to afford maybe one or two if you want to try snagging some of these together. And again, to echo Jay, help us, please share the word, get it in there. Whatever you can do to help us. Again, everything goes to Children's Health Foundation. Jay has fronted the cost for these. Once he recoups his cost that he netted either through trade or straight up cash, the difference goes to the Children's Health Foundation.
Upstate Johnny's comment, Rob, on the bottom there.
I see this. This is not something that we are used to or even had a contingency plan for, and that is, what happens if no Facebook? I would suggest that you just sign up for an account just for the sake of this and then deactivate it. Facebook accounts are free. So, we can't have the auction running in multiple different platforms like Instagram or Twitter and all that. So
it's just us moderating again. I'm not going to spill the beans on, I guess, what plan A was, because it was, you know, a lot more stuff like before that was going to be in person and there was going to be a lot more moderators. But because of COVID restrictions, again, we can't do that. eBay is very stressful. It was very stressful on myself running the auction on my personal eBay account, timing everything so they would end exactly. And it's just easier this way. And then it'll be more personable. Rob and I will make it a lot more fun. It'll just be more energetic.
Yeah, and Upstate Johnny, you had a good idea there. Maybe just ask a friend that's on Facebook to bid in proxy. Once the auction ends, we will reach out to the person through a DM. They'll have 24 hours to submit payment to Jay. It'll be through PayPal, friends and family. Once that's sorted, it'll all be kind of good and whatnot. Shipping is coming from Canada tentatively right now. That may change depending on what happens later. If you want to wait, we have people that are interested in possibly driving up to Canada instead of having to pay shipping on some of the stuff. Like, we have a couple of friends that are interested in that sail barge in the Eternia later in April. Who knows what the border protocols are like, but if they drive up, they would be willing to ship out of the U.S. to possibly save some cash on shipping, because shipping from Canada is obviously a little bit pricier if it's going outside of the country. But if you just want the shipping quote and sent right away, we can do that too. That's pretty simple and straightforward. So you'll have to let us know. But 1 week for each of these bad boys. Again, let's just take a minute or two to go down these before we jump into our main topic this week. February 9th, we have a Man of Man. We've already talked about it. February 16th, a boxed sealed Dino Riders, an Ankylosaurus with Sting, the evil Rulon warrior. Jay, when do you ever see a boxed sealed Dino Riders?
Probably when I was a kid in the 80s was the last time I saw that. And I myself only had one Dino Rider, and I think you had zero.
Zero.
I mean, they're very, very rare. Very obscure. Yeah. but so awesome. They're insane.
And the box art again is just fantastic. It is nice because it's not one of the big ones. So if you're not a huge Dino Riders fan, but you want an iconic sealed piece from the 80s, this is really perfect for you. If you are a Dino Riders collector, this is nice because it is a small one. And the small stuff for Dino Riders, which is like everything in the line, seems to disappear, break, or vanish. So having it all together in a sealed box is a good deal. February 23rd, we have a boxed complete Soundwave. It is opened. But this thing almost has never seen playtime, and the stickers have not been applied.
Yeah, it's pretty much as close to mint as you're going to get. That old G1 artwork is some of my favorite box art of all time. So you get to enjoy both worlds here. You get to have a nice display piece in the box, and if you choose, you can remove Soundwave and, get a nice smell, get a nice feel of a mint condition 1984 Transformer.
March 2nd, we get Power Extreme with the Centurions. Max Ray, again, boxed, sealed Centurion. When do you ever see that? Let alone a loose, complete one these days.
Very, very special. Anytime, most times you go to a toy store, sells vintage stuff. If you find a Centurion, most times in my experience and your experience, Rob, they are naked. They don't have any accessories. They definitely don't have the helmet. Mm-hmm. So this is, a beautiful display piece. Or if you're a brave soul, you want to open it up, you're going to have a brand new, fresh Max Ray to play with.
March 9th, we have a boxed, sealed Masters of the Universe Wind Raider. How can you not take a chance at getting a sealed Masters vehicle when it's up for grab and going for charity? It's just, I can't believe this was part of the journey. I still can't.
My favorite Masters vehicle, hands down, is the Wind Raider. The wings on the vintage 83 are extremely fragile. A lot of times they're snapped off. The peg is usually lodged inside the ship. So restoring it's very difficult. Again, you have a beautiful, the box art for the original Master stuff is, second to none. So you have the choice. Open it up if you want. You have a brand new Wind Raider, apply the stickers, or just keep it on the shelf. Display it either way, man. It's a must have for Masters collectors.
March 16th sees another Transformers, again, boxed and complete, and like new, hardly played with, Starscream. Jay, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I can't give away anything for the story just yet for season two. Safe to say that, last season I picked the two that I thought were the best. And this season I picked the two that I thought were the best. I think the four of those Transformers are definitely the four most iconic that there are. This is your chance to get, Megatron's deceptive second in command. Again, display him in the box, take him out and play with him. It's your choice. But he is mint. He's just a beautiful figure.
March 23rd and April 6th, see a pair of boxed sealed Sectars. Prince Dargon with the Dragonflyer and General Spiderax with the Spider Flyer. What are your thoughts on these two?
Well, I'm going to just say right now, and I'm going to be completely transparent with everybody, that sealed Dargon, I might even be bidding it on it myself because I think that is one of the most beautiful figures of all time.
Well, again, you go ahead.
Yeah, you never see that. My point is I'm very excited for this piece, and it's a hard one to let go of for me, but that's going to make any He-Man fan, any Sectars fan extremely happy. I mean, this is the main hero and his mount.
And again, like Jay said, it's going to be hard to let go of these. So you will see everything posted and pinned on our Facebook page week by week. Folks, we will be bidding on these. Jay and I will be bidding on these, and you will have a chance to outbid us. But there is no way that we are going to let some of these items go without not trying to acquire them for our own collection. They are just too cool. Obviously, we are tied to the story as well. These have been featured in Action Figure Adventure Season 2, and it's going to charity. It's like the three win formula. It's cool on its own, but when it's tied to a story and you're helping charity, It's just aces across the board. Sandwiched between the two Sektars, Jay, you have an unpunched carded VC-102 Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars The Vintage Collection.
The most sought after vintage collection figure that there is. No arguments there. Also the most expensive one. She is obviously with the Mandalorian. She has took off being in Rebels, being a key character there, being a key character in Clone Wars. She is right up there with Luke, Han, Leia, as far as I'm concerned, as a main character in Star Wars. And this was the first artwork where she was depicted as kind of humanoid in realistic fashion. Just a beautiful, beautiful figure.
And having filmed the majority of these so far the last week, I don't want to relinquish these, and that one in particular, like Jay said, the photorealistic approach to Ahsoka on the card art versus, say, like a screen grab from Rebels or Clone Wars is a really unique take on the character. Forget the fact that it's being reissued. This is the original one, and it's pretty awesome. We round out the final 2 weeks, Jay, with the two big boys. Jabba Sail Barge, complete but open, and Eternia with box, again, open and something like 95% complete.
You skipped over the big baddie, but that's okay. We do have General Spydrax right after.
We were talking about both of the Sektars at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just going to say real quickly, because I've had firsthand experience with both of them, that Spydrax is flawless. The packaging, if you guys know Sektar's packaging, they're big, they're bulky, and it's, you know, a big plastic dome that is easily crushed. This thing is just gorgeous. What do you say about the Sail Barge? I mean, obviously I love it. That's clear. And I know the toy collecting community loves it. It's right up there, in my opinion, with the flag as far as legendary playsets go. If you haven't seen this thing in person, it takes your breath away. It's something to behold. And you haven't shot this one yet. No, you haven't shot this one yet. It's still here in my house.
Yeah. I haven't shot the Sail Barge or Eternia yet. Those are going to be fun days when I have to go to work and film these playsets and set them up. Tough deal. But there it is, folks. Those are the items up for grabs. You know, even just looking at this, I think it's cool that there are two vintage Masters of the Universe pieces, two newer Star Wars pieces and an older vintage one, two Sektars pieces, two Transformer pieces, and then a Centurions and a Dino Rider. Certainly an eclectic mix of 80s nostalgia awesomeness. If you're an action figure collector, you can't go wrong with anything, because this is the golden age of action figures from A to B and Z and back again.
Yeah, and these are the choices that I picked for season two. These were the ones that we came across that I felt would be the best for what we're trying to do. So I hope you guys enjoy them. Please remember, if you're wanting one of these legendary pieces, the proceeds go to Children's Health Foundation. So you're not just getting a killer piece for your collection. You're helping out Sick Kids program, which is very, very important to us.
And I should say too, that doesn't mean other brands weren't picked up along the way. Like, there's somehow no G.I. Joe in that list. That doesn't mean G.I. Joe didn't play a massive role several times in the season, or Mask, or Dick Tracy, or Captain Power, or Air Raiders, or Superpowers. There's lots of everything in the season, and that's what excites me the most about how many different toy lines we kind of came into contact with to end up where we were. So the journey, again, is always as important, if not more, than the destination and where we ended up.
You get to see a lot of me wrestling with decisions and what I should and should not get. So that's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on to the main topic this week, and that is the day I realized I was a serious collector. Jay, what was that day for you when you said, oh man, I'm like a real collector, dude. Like, I'm really into this stuff.
You were with me, and I'm going to screw up the date and the time.
Okay.
I'm going to say we were in Fan Expo in Toronto, 2001, 2002. You would know more than me.
Yeah, I'm listening.
we walked into the con. We had a finite amount of money that we had saved because we were both working at a restaurant at the time. I remember we were saving our tips. I specifically had a jar where all my tips went into, and all the money was for this specific con. I walked in, and within 5 minutes, I will show you the item and how I became a serious collector. I walked into the con, and you were beside me, and I saw this. If you want to make it big here.
Yeah, I do want to make it big.
This is Master's Replica Attack of the Clones Yoda lightsaber, 1731 of 2500. This is an actual prop replica of Master Yoda's lightsaber. There we go. And not so good with the internet cams. It's gorgeous. It's been with me since, let's just say 2001, because I can't remember the exact date. It was around there. I looked at you and I said, oh my God, that's an actual prop replica. And it's from Lucasfilm. It's not a, you know, fan-made one. And you're like, dude, that's a lot of money. And that's all of your money. And I didn't care. I knew that that was very special and it came with me. That was the day that I considered myself a serious collector.
That's a good one. And I don't forget that moment, because that was like, the con was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We had plans of going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And this was like Friday at 3 o'clock. Friday, 3:15, Jay is spent.
Yeah. I'm done. It was one thing I bought. I think I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, can you maybe lend me some money? Because I just spent it.
I got to eat the rest of the weekend still, Mom. And I spent my burger money on a Dolly Saber.
I have a really good kind of sense of, I don't want to say once in a lifetime moments, but things I know that you just don't see, and I can rarely let them go. And that was my first case. I'm like, wow, I'm a serious like Star Wars fan. Like, this is a prop of Yoda, so I can't use it for anything because Yoda's small, right? So it's going to sit on my shelf and I'm going to look at it. And that's also one of the first times where I really was proud to display something of that caliber and considered it, you know, a piece of art.
Yeah, I think you hit on a bunch of points that I have written down, and that is the willingness to spend what seems like an obscene amount of money for maybe an outsider. The saving up for something for a long period of time, and the dedicated time to going to an event that has this stuff that speaks to you. You know what I mean? Like, you specifically went to Fan Expo in search of something. And it wasn't necessarily this, but when you saw it, it was like, whoosh, gone. In that same Fan Expo, I went for a 2002 Merman because he was in low numbers in Canada.
Oh, and yeah.
I couldn't find him anywhere. And the Canadian 2002 He-Man packaging, I hated because it had the triplicate language on it, which I'm sure for U.S. collectors.
Try logo.
Yeah, the U.S. collectors probably love that as a foreign variant, but I hated it because it took up extra packaging space. So I found a Merman, and it was like, I think it was like $25. I was like, oh my God, $25, because they were, you know, $12 in the store. But I was like, okay, this is cool. But I remember when you did that, and it's like, okay, Jay's all in. The year before, you went all in on Transformer PVC figures, the 2-inch figures, and this just kind of followed suit, but in a bigger way, upping the ante again.
Yeah, this was just, I think it was $500 at the time. If memory serves me correctly, it was not, you know, $100 or something like that, although that's a lot of money. It was $500. And I remember just my heart racing. I'm like, I have to do this. And I just, what goes on in my mind, it's like, it's $500. Yeah, but when are you ever going to see it again? Dude, this is Yoda's lightsaber. Of course, Attack of the Clones had just come out that year. So it was, it's like, I'm going to have this thing for the rest of my life. And it was exciting to know that would be with me forever. It was really cool.
For me, it was the year before. And it led into the Merman story that I just mentioned. We had gone to Heroes and they literally just had bins, milk crates of vintage He-Man figures in an abundance that I had never seen before. And again, disposable income, you know, first kind of full-time job, still living at home, going to college, a little bit of scratch. And it was the first chance that I had to reclaim my collection of my youth that was kind of unceremoniously just taken away from me. And so I remember buying something like 20 figures and spending like $200 almost without second thought, like completely engulfed in the nostalgia wave. And I remember getting them home, cleaning them all, displaying them all. And while I'm doing that, all I'm thinking is, I can't believe I left A, B, C, D, E, and F there. And all week long, thinking about how I'm going to move finances around, which figures that I remember are there, do I really want to prioritize? How am I going to set everything up? And then basically just investing in it as an extracurricular in ways that you would do with like a research paper. Like really taking it as a serious hobby without even acknowledging it, and not just like, oh, this is cool, kind of a gas, I'll just pick up these casually, or from out at an antique sale, oh, I remember these things, throw a dolly in the pocket. This was like a very focused mission that I was suddenly on. And because I had dropped like $200, which seems like a lot of money, because I remember buying video games for like $80 was like a big spend, and God, I hope the game was good. Once you drop that kind of money once on a collectible, it becomes that much easier to do it again, because you can justify the fulfillment you had when you dropped $200 the first time. So when you see something that's $200, whether it's one figure, a playset, or a lot, it's like, oh, well, I've dropped this money before, so I'm not as scared. And that's when I think it becomes a little bit more digestible and like, okay, I'm seriously into this.
Especially during since the pandemic has hit a couple of years ago, I find, you know, the rare times you get to go out in stores, there's not, you know, I'm not saying anything. This has nothing to do with action figure adventure. I'm just talking about myself and my personal treks around this city here. This stuff doesn't just pop up much anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of people are hanging on to this stuff. So for me now in 2022, a lot of it is, it's going to sound funny, but it's historical for me. I think it would be really cool to have a museum one day. And I think that's something that I could do. I love preserving pieces, and my mind is open way, way more. Oh, no. Hang on. No.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about that.
Speaking of preserving, dog, you're going. If you touch that, close one.
Oh, that's funny. Hang on a second. All right, Jay, take a breather. To echo what you're saying, Upstate Johnny is saying it wasn't so much the financial and his size as acquiring dollies or toys, but he noticed that he was getting what he was doing when he wasn't buying the toys, and that's reading about the lines, the history, the advertisements, tracking down people that worked on the line. Is like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
So I think that's where you're going with what you're saying.
Yeah, preserving these items and being kind of like a custodian of the history of a lot of this stuff has really become important to me, especially since we've started doing the show. And my mind is a lot more open than it was in 2002, where it was primarily G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, you know, the good old stuff. Now it's like I appreciate so much more for different reasons. And I think it's important to represent at least a little bit of each of the lines of toy history in my collection.
It's really not that much different what you're saying about having a museum and that mission of preservation. It's not that much different than what I do with documentaries. I mean, if you look at something like Power of Grayskull and even what we do with Action Figure Adventure, it's interviewing these people and getting their opinions on all these different topics and having it displayed and arranged and essentially a collection for people to view and enjoy. It's exactly the same thing. When I make these, it feels like I'm hunting down pieces. Like, oh, I got the Mark Taylor piece. Oh, I got the Tom Kalinske piece. Not that I'm like owning them, but I'm, you know, upping the ante on the collection and what the information can be shared and preserved forever.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I was on a podcast. I'm not going to say the name of the podcast on our show here, but I was on a podcast on Saturday. And it was a gaming podcast, and the guys were just, they were just so excited about Nintendo Quest, and that, you know, I was on the show and they got to talk to the guy who was in Nintendo Quest, and they said that you and I made something in the golden age of retro game collecting, because to try and do that now,
it's impossible now.
Not only 20 times the cost, but there's so many fakes. So for you to have, you preserved that moment in time with that film. And forget about if I'm in it or you're in it or whatnot. That film is great because we get to see what I agree with them that period of time was such a golden age in retro game collecting. It was almost on the cusp before things went crazy with bootleggers and scalpers and that kind of thing.
That's fascinating. I never really thought of that.
Yeah, they loved it, by the way, and they told me to tell you hi, so hello.
Well, hello. Nice to see you. Hopefully you're tuning in. Hopefully you're subbing and giving a like. We need that as well. I'm going to end this on two notes before we get to Action Figure Spotlight because we are running out of time somehow. Do you think all collectors are serious collectors, and will we always be serious collectors?
Okay. I don't usually respond to anything on Twitter, but you know where I'm going with this. I'm going to respond to this comment. I'm not going to say who said it. All collectors are serious collectors. There's no wrong way to collect. I completely disagree with that comment. I don't think all collectors are serious collectors at all. I think there's a fine line between a serious collector and a casual collector. Sorry, that comment just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I just wanted to address that, which I don't usually do, but I felt the need to do so.
That's where I was going to go with it, because I don't think you have to dedicate hundreds of hours week after week after week to be a collector. You know, we showcased that book from Brian, Knockoffs, and I still have it here, right? And we talk about rules and limits when it comes to collecting. Brian did this book, and he's to the point where he doesn't buy much anymore. He's happy. He's got his end piece, and it was some Logan Run Mego prototype figures. So he's crazy, very much casual in terms of buying stuff. He likes to collect information now.
Yeah, but I know. Exactly. I know collectors. Again, I'm not going to name names. I know someone who collects shoes, and they're not serious about it. They collect shoes when they want to, where they want to, and get rid of old ones. So, yeah, I don't think all collectors are serious collectors.
Yeah. And I will say, when I named the episode, it was supposed to be facetious on purpose. You know, serious collector. You know what I mean?
Come on, Rob. You should know better.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, right? Clickbait. Click that headline. And as far as will we always be a serious collector, you know, I talk about the future of action figures a lot. And we interview a bunch of people in season two on this topic as well. And I think it was either Pixel Dan or maybe Mysterion who said, you know, I'm always going to love toys, but am I going to be buying the amount of toys that I'm buying now forever? Probably not.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make them any less of a serious collector if they choose to spend less money on something.
Of course not. Yeah. Again, we were talking about this late last year, where it's like you look around and it's like, wow, you know, really happy with what I've achieved. You can't keep this kind of spending forever. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yes, Cindy agrees. She thinks there's a definite line between a serious collector and a casual one. Cactus Jamie says, I'm serious about toys, but more casual about collecting them. I can't afford to be serious, he laughingly says. Thanks for chiming in, everybody. Let's move on to the Action Figure Spotlight. Jay, do you want to go first, or should I go ahead and disappoint everyone?
Well, mine is really super special to me. Whether it's a wow factor for everyone else, I don't know. I like your disappointing one. And by the way, last week's was good. I liked that one. I got to what see that figure up. Muckman.
What do you think of that in person? Close.
It's like 5 pounds. It's awesome.
It's man. Huge,
yeah.
Eh?
Huge, it's dude. Crazy. Yeah. I saw Casey and the Gecko guy as well. Casey Mondo was really Gecko. Cool.
Yeah. I passed some Mondo Gecko. That's the only one from the line I didn't want to get. My Casey's on the way still. So we'll probably showcase that whenever it comes. 1-6 shooter before we move on says, I knew I was serious when I dropped thousands of dollars on a Macquarie Vader helmet. Had to have one. Mm-hmm. That is cool. Cracktastic Plus says, I've always bought toys, but the day I made my first display, that might have pushed me over into serious. And the Robot Menace bought some Captain Power shoes today. Well, there you have it. So to disappoint everybody with my pick this week, it's going to a McFarlane line that nobody is talking about, and it's for an upcoming video game with the Disney IP. So This is a new line of figures called Disney Mirrorverse, and it features Disney characters in almost a Kingdom Hearts-like style. I don't know a ton about the game yet. It looks like it's a squad-based kind of team-on-team, almost like Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, but done with Disney mm-hmm. characters, which is allowing them to kind of compete one against one another. But you get full-on action figures for this line. I'm a sucker for Disney characters. I'm all in on the Super 7 Ultimates Disney figures. So to see more Disney characters, especially done in a different style and tied to a game with a bit of an RPG-like overtone, super cool in my opinion. And for only 12 or 15 bucks, I'm all in. This is Mickey, as you can tell here. He's a support character. They all come with a trading card like most McFarlane figures do nowadays. The paint apps is about the only thing that I think are lacking, especially on the face here. If you can see that, there's not a lot of detail and separation from the eyes. It's kind of like bland, and you can see like where the black and the beige meet. It isn't crisp and definite as I would like, but I do like the gold trim on the rope on his robe there, and the highlights and the accents are pretty nice. My daughter got a Belle figure for her birthday today, and you can see Belle on the back there, and she is actually a fantastic figure. I had previously got a broken Buzz Lightyear from the line. Again, another 5-pound figure, but highly articulated. And I have the rest of the line that I'm going to open at some point too. But these are actually pretty cool figures. If you love Disney IP, if you like Kingdom Hearts looking stuff, and you want something that's affordable. So I you can't go wrong. Even if the game isn't up your alley, these figures so far are meeting the grade for me. I don't know how long the line will go. I know Wave 2 has been announced. So I think there's a total of 12 figures so far. And not that I'm all in on anything, but so far I like what I see.
Sweet. When did you pick that one up? That's awesome.
That came from Big Bad a couple weeks ago. I know they were in Canada. I saw them around a bit, but for 12 bucks, I had to get some other stuff sent my way. It just made sense to kind of grab it.
It's a good game. That's a good game to play on your phone. It's like the Marvel one and the Star Wars one. It's like a turn-based. I believe it's a turn-based one of those game, you know, games you play every day for a few minutes kind of thing. That's really cool. And I like the idea of incorporating all the Disney characters and putting them into combat roles. That's really, really neat. And very affordable. Upstate Johnny says, yeah, solid price point.
Yeah, absolutely. And Akira, to answer your question about the two scales, I think they're just offering more popular figures in another scale for people that want the Jack Sparrow that's a little bit bigger or the bigger Mickey on that size. What do you got, Jay?
Well, it's close to one of those once in a lifetime moments for me. I seem to be having a lot of those lately. But I saw this and I really couldn't pass it up considering that he's my all-time favorite character. Now, before I show it, I will say that this is not sealed, but it does have the card, which is very important, and the bubble is still attached. So let me see if I can show this like that. There we go. It's about as good as it's going to get there. That's a 1985 Star Wars Kenner, Power of the Force, Luke Skywalker, and Endor fatigues. It's one of those things. This picking this up the other day reminded me of that story I just told you guys about when Rob and I went to that first convention. I picked it up and it didn't matter. I was like, yep, this is mine. There was a little bit of negotiating. But I mean, Luke Skywalker is my all-time favorite. What's interesting about this figure is this one is actually missing the belt, so I need to acquire the belt. The blaster he comes with is the same blaster from the Jabba the Hutt's palace, but it's black. So that blaster is very, very pricey. But this Luke never came with a lightsaber, which is just ridiculous.
Hilarious, given our discussion earlier.
Exactly. I never thought of that. And given this scene, yeah, I mean, even the part he's got his helmet off, that's like right after he cuts the biker scout down.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a lightsaber. It's got the coin intact. And my favorite bit of toy history there, the Toys R Us 287 price tag, which is probably American. But you can see there is the rip there where he's been opened. Again, I don't care if it's mint on card. That picture of Mark Hamill is absolutely gorgeous. And the figure's great. That is on the top shelf of my one glass cabinet. So there you go.
Pretty epic find, man. Anything Power of the Force with those coins, those figures. Like the Amana Man, you got to have those in your collection. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week on this week's topic, going through the auction update, of course, playing Kobayashi Maru and our icebreaker as well. Jay, where can people find you if they want to see more of your content?
Check me out on YouTube, Jay Bartlett. And that's it. I don't have any fancy kind of toy collecting names. It's just Jay Bartlett. I'm almost at 2,000. I'm proud to say I'm three subscriptions away. So anyone in chat who is not subscribed, I am begging you, and I will be your best friend. Please go to YouTube right now and hit that sub button. And if you're watching this live right now on Rob McCallum's page, please hit the subscribe button as well. It does help both of our channels, guys, and allows us to do more great content for you. At least I think it's great anyway.
And it's true. The only reason Jay and I are friends is because I subbed to his channel before all of you. So get in the queue for best friend time with Jay and I. Thanks for the plug on this channel, Jay. I know more than three quarters of the people that watch this and all our other content are not subscribers. So if you can subscribe to this, that definitely helps us. Give us a like, a thumbs up, a heart, whatever you need to do. We'll see you again next week, guys. We end every episode like we always do. Obviously, hit me up on Twitter at Rob McZob. But we end every episode with our awesome unplagiarized original ad copy of "Take care of yourselves and each other." Or for the war, you see, I need a teleprompter.
It's just Jerry Springer is texting me right now, and he's like, "Can you guys? Like, all right, enough already."
Steve's coming over to lay the beat down on me.
Oh, Steve! Remember
he forgot about Steve in his own show as well.
Steve Wilkos.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, Jay. Take care of yourself.
Well, will Rob ever find romance? It's tough to tell, but in these uncertain times, remember, take care of yourself and each other.
Because playtime, Jay.
It's always the best time, dude.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Cheers.